right, we have breaking news here. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Chip Simmons is in the studio, and I don't know if it's the first time, but I'm going to go ahead and call it the first time because, you know, we're local, dependable, reliable, informative. Yeah, right, obviously. By the way, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. So no high-profile incidents last week?
No. I was out of town
Sweet.
For a couple of days in Washington, D.C.
So you're the source of the trouble. When you're here, bad things happen. When you're gone.
Yeah, I thought you were reliable and dependable and all that. Whatever. I think I missed one of those that y'all are. Honest is probably the one I missed.
Always miss that one. Anyway. Yeah. Go. So you were out of town. You were at the memorial in D.C.
Yes, we had to add Jeremy Cassidy's name to the national memorial, so a couple of us went up to Washington, D.C. Last Wednesday and got back on Saturday, and a pretty moving service, actually. They call out the names of every law enforcement officer in the United States that lost their life during 2025. Vice President J.D. Vance was the speaker.
Oh, okay.
And it was a really good, nice event. It took place at the Capitol, the lawn right there in front of the Capitol. And that's, if you haven't been there, it's a majestic scene.
It's
obviously a huge building, very symbolic, and it's nice to have it there. It's good to be back. It's always good to be back.
And always good to have you back. So we'll celebrate. I'll celebrate a week where very little news-ish kinds of things happen. But you do have some stuff coming up. For example, tonight is Female Blazer Academy. Is that right?
Yeah, female graduation.
Oh, nice.
Tonight at Sanger Theater, 6:00. It is open if you're heading downtown. If you're walking down the sidewalk and you can't get down the roadway yet, but if you're walking
close.
Down there, slip into Sanger Theater, kind of take a look at pretty much the future of not just Escambia County but this country. These Blazer Academies, award-winning Blazer Academies. This one is the Female Blazer Academy. Earlier we had the Male Blazer Academy. It's just nice to be able to get to know some of our future leaders, really. And we'll have a graduation, then we'll have a nice meal across the street. And it's always a good thing for us.
Teaching them soft skills, how to plan, how to conduct an interview, just how to be people and get some of the things that maybe they didn't, you know, don't necessarily get all the time. And, you know, doing it from the police, so, you know, voice of authority and building relationships with the police, those are always good things, right?
Relationships, there's that, confidence building, there's that cautionary tale, that unique perspective that a law enforcement mm-hmm. agency would have. And, again, we only have for 6 weeks, but you really get to know them. You see some of that growth and some of that confidence, and you hope that they take just a little bit of that in the future. One day, you know, my hope is that they'll think about a situation. You know what? We went over this
mm-hmm.
at the Blazer Academy, or it's something that I'm familiar with because I've done it one time before. Second time is always easier than the first
time, right?
So our hope is that.
How many girls?
It was about, I think it was like 20 girls in this particular class.
Yeah, this program, by the way, to me is like a quintessentially starfish program. You know, the guy walk along the beach, all the starfish are up on the beach dying, and, you know, and he throws one back in, and somebody says, why would you do that? And he says, I made a difference for that one, you know, kind of thing.
One.
And that's the point, you know, 20, 20, 20, that adds up. And it's just, you know.
It's that butterfly effect or chaos absolutely. Theory, whatever you want to call it. If you do something great today or one little thing today, and if one thing sticks, then it could make a difference for generations to come.
Graduations are coming up. You're going to have a handful of things going on at the Bay Center, but it's not so much the Bay Center as the weekend and the nights after, right?
Yeah, you know, recently we've had this, you know, take over this lot or that lot, or they've had this online type invitations, and so we're certainly keeping an eye on that. And now we have our graduations. I think we're going to have 4 high schools graduating one day and then 4 the next day. And so we're going to have some meetings coming up just to make sure we're prepared for that. Mainly Pensacola Beach.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure we have the personnel, and we want to just make sure people know and understand where your kids are and where they're going to be going on graduation week. You don't want to ruin your life on what could be the biggest day of their life.
Do you have problems here historically with graduation weekends and or prom weekends is the other one I would think of as maybe being an issue?
We're aware of the proms. Sometimes they're different dates, but because of graduate, like we have 4 local high schools all going somewhere. You know, I'm not saying they're all going to the beach because certainly they're not.
They can't get there. The road's closed and under construction and too much traffic.
Yeah. You know, if I know that if I was a high school, I'd say, I'm not sure if I want to wait in line for 3 hours trying to get to a no parking area.
Right.
You know, that's not fun. We just want to make sure that we're prepared for wherever in Escambia County they may want to go, and really just remind people that, you know, remind parents, ask your kids where they're planning on going. I know my parents were very aware of where I said I was going.
Yeah. and would ask questions and make phone calls.
Exactly.
And fact check, you know, and do character
references.
We didn't
have phones, yeah. Cell phones back then, but they sure seemed to know
what was going on. Talking about, you know, things going on at the beach and parents knowing where their kids are and, you know, keeping up on them and all that kind of stuff. I mentioned traffic as a side note. Does the traffic to the beach that has become a real problem in the last couple of years? I mean, it was a problem before for a while, but now it's like all the time. We've been talking about that this morning. Does that cause issues for you guys in any particular way, or because you have, you know, officers out at the beach, it's not really that much of a problem for law enforcement?
Well, I mean, it can be. Certainly when we need help, you know, if there needs to be a backup, then it's a little more difficult to get there. But we have four-wheelers on the beach for that reason, so that our deputies can get in and out of the main beach area pretty quickly. We obviously have lights. We can try to go to the side, but again, when it's good luck, there's not much you can – not many right. areas you can really go. Yeah, I wouldn't say that it causes us a huge problem. It's frustration for the people that are there in line, and we have some extra calls because people were out there in the sun, and they run out of gas, or they stole their cars, they're frustrated, and they get in fights with someone else.
They're dehydrated, they're drinking, they're ornery sometimes.
It can be problematic, there's no doubt, for gridlock. Again, it's always been this way, as you mentioned, but I think that as I understand it, there may be record-breaking cars going through the toll plaza
and other days of the week.
You don't have to stop anymore.
You're right.
And pay.
Yeah,
you
know, drive
at least
right through.
They can go on through, but there's nowhere to go on through.
You don't have to stop until you get to the parking lot. Then you have to
circle parking lot, try to find a place to park. You know, we're acting like that's a bad thing.
Right.
There are communities and beaches and. Throughout the world that would love to have the issue that we have. I mean, if we had a bigger beach, maybe we could re-nourish a couple more miles and we'll...
You heard it here first. Sheriff Simmons is for expanding Pensacola
plan.
Beach. All
yeah.
right, I like it. He could be the county administrator. Call back.
Well, you know, the downtown Pensacola wasn't always as big as
right.
it is now.
They just had to build it. Okay. I wanted to ask you about Campus Guardians. Governor DeSantis signed the bill, Michelle Salzman and Don Gates' bill, last Friday, that allows schools to opt in to have guardians on their campuses. That would be UWF and PSC, and as you reminded me before the show, PCC. I don't know why. We always want to forget PCC. 5,000 people go there. I mean, like, it's its own city, right? And, you know, but we forget. So from your perspective, first of all, have you had any conversations about this internally, externally? You know, it just happened. Nobody's opted in yet. But anything you guys are doing yet to prepare for the possibility?
We had a conversation yesterday because we knew, obviously, it was coming. It's not a surprise. We knew that the governor was going to, or we felt like the governor was going to sign the bill.
Sure.
And here's our stance. We will certainly train you. We now the new law says they can opt in, but they have to pay for it. So that if they fund the deputies, you know, extra duty type of pay, and then the ammunition and all that sort of stuff, there's a grant for the school districts to not have to pay for it. And we certainly do that for our local school districts.
So the school districts, to clarify, they don't pay for the training of the guardians. There's a grant for that. But the school district does pay the deputies and the guardians who are stationed at schools. That's not something that comes out of your budget.
They're actually employees of the school district.
Right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
So we, the sheriff's offices throughout the state of Florida, are tasked with training the guardians. And it's a lot. It's 144 total hours, a lot of shooting, some background checks, a lot of training on the law. And we're certainly wanting to partner with not just the school district, but now – the colleges, if they want to opt in, they just have to pay for it. But we will make it work if they want to get involved in it.
How different do you think the training will be for these guardians? Because these will be concealed carry. They're not going to wear yellow shirts and black pants. They're going to be concealed carry. It'll be professors, theoretically, staff, you know, who want to carry on campus. Have you guys thought at all about how that might or not might not be different for those folks?
Well, I think a lot of the training is going to be the same.
Okay.
I mean, there's still, you know, we work on state statute and we work on firearm proficiency. That's a lot of what we go over. And then we'll obviously talk about, you know, because it is concealed, I would imagine, again, we haven't discussed this yet.
Yep.
But I imagine we'll talk a little bit more about, as we talk a lot about, just because you can carry doesn't mean you should if you're not proficient, if you don't know what you're doing, or if you every time you try to get the gun in out of your pants, you drop it.
Yeah.
You know, or you mistakenly fire a round off. Those are things that we're going to make sure that they're as proficient as the training will allow.
Yeah, and I assume you're supportive of this. You think this is a good thing, and you're obviously required but willing to help if any of these schools. And I'm assuming that at least two of them and possibly three of them will opt in. So
yeah, I'm always a fan of the good guy with a gun.
Yeah. Wanted to also ask you, just because we're kind of in that time zone, you were mentioning graduation, and we were talking about college campuses. This is now the transition from being school resource officers to summer duty. Mm-hmm. What do they do? What do the SROs do when they're not working at schools in the summer?
Well, I just got the list again yesterday. It's funny you asked that question about where they're going to be assigned. Our SROs are assigned to assist patrol. So they'll do – some of them have mandatory training. They get all that covered in the summertime. Some of them work – there are some summer schools. You know, they still okay. work throughout there. But a lot of them are you know, they just – they plug in where they're needed. You know, whether it's, you know, the graduation, maybe it's Pensacola Beach, maybe it's, you know, there's a need for some deputies to take off for other training. So they plug those gaps. They're pretty flexible with that. It kind of gets them the chance to get out there and work a call again, mm-hmm. not just on a school campus.
They probably, I mean, they love what they do, but they probably love that too, right?
It's that change of scene. Yeah. You do something a little different. Like if you went over across the hallway and you did some country music DJing.
Why would you threaten me like that? Are you angry
or
at me?
ADJ
you don't like
all.
Me much? I don't know why you'd make me do that. That's a very unpleasant thing for you to suggest. I love my friends across the hall, and I'm glad they do it. Very, very, very,
just
very
so we're
glad
clear, I like people.
They do it.
I just don't want to be near them.
movie night coming up Friday?
Movie night. Friday night, 6 o'clock. We're going to – I can't remember the movie. We're on something about a snail or something. I can't remember now. Turbo, maybe. I don't know.
Turbo,
what it's
okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
It's going to be at J Street Apartments right there, Morris Sanchez Court area, right there at the border, city and county border.
Okay.
We're going to have all of our staff out there, hamburgers, hot dogs, and a movie. The weather so far looks like it's going to be decent. We're going to have that, again, our movie night with a screen purchased by the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation.
Nice. I think about you when I see the white Tahoes driving around. I do. I'm like, oh, there's another one. This your initiative to save money and expedite getting vehicles out in the fleet. How many of those do you have? Like, what percentage of the fleet is converted now?
We've probably been doing it for about, probably 3 years now. So we get about
has
40,
it been that
50
long?
Cars apiece. Yeah, about 100 okay. cars are out there.
How many do you have?
Oh, cars?
Yeah.
Oh, we have a lot.
400, 500?
We have about 450 total cars.
Okay.
We have 450 sworn. So
yeah, yeah.
Each one of those have a car. Not all marked cars.
Right.
But they all drive a police car of some
the
sort.
The city of Pensacola recently has started acquiring sedans instead mm-hmm. of their Tahoes. But you guys, it's like, I know that you have some for like command staff, not patrol. But is there an appeal of value as cost savings in that?
Well, all of our investigators drive sedans. We don't okay. all drive the Tahoes unless they're older ones from
gotcha.
Patrol. We just happen to think that, and this is philosophical.
Yeah.
I happen to think that the Tahoe is has enough space in it for the equipment that we have, the cameras and the computers. It has enough for the cage in the back for the bad guys, and also some room back there for long rifles and some different things that we have. And it's also it's a larger vehicle, so it is safer for the deputies. We're pitting a lot of cars. We're doing a lot of good work out there, and it's philosophical. I think that they look good. Right.
There's a presence issue.
They're,
hey,
they're certainly functional. You can see them. You can notice them. And they're. I think Escambia County deserves the best, and I think Escambia County Sheriff's Office deserves the best. And I think that's to me that's the standard throughout the country.
All right, very good, Sheriff Chip Simmons. As always, sir, a pleasure. Thanks for what you do, keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.